Good evening. As you can tell, this is not Terry. I've been asked by the elders to take and give you some idea of what we've been doing. And it's hard for some of you because you don't know me. You don't know where I've been, what I've been through, or why I'm even here. But I'm a member of this congregation, and sometimes in absentia, because I'm a member here and I'm concerned with you, but yet 90% of the time we're on the road somewhere. We're working with a group of Christians, fellow Christians. As we travel, we're trying to take and do God's work in other places. And what makes us a little bit different than a lot of missionaries, we usually take and take our home with us. We have RVs, and so we just travel the countryside, but we only travel where people are asking us to take and come, to take and work small churches with Bible camps, children's homes, some small schools, even some large schools at times, Christians of all. And we do this because there's a need there. Every place we go, we try to take in. The co-directors try to make it determine that there's a need and that there's Christians that need help. And so that's the reason we are at those particular places. We're a free organization as such because we ask no support from the places we go. And when we leave, we try to take and leave a monetary amount for the electricity we use and the water, so we won't be a burden to the places we go, the churches or the children's home or the Bible camp, what have you. And the reason the eldership here is deemed it profitable for you to be a part of this service is because we do what was considered God's work in different places. So that's the reason you have supported us in the last, I'm saying 7 years. I don't think that's quite right, but it's awful close. And so we just want you to know a little bit about the things. This organization was started by a preacher down in South Carolina. He was a government man, and he worked with the congregation there in Anderson for about 6 months to a year, trying to take and help them get established, and the congregation is still going there. And so they got in touch with people that like to travel, like to take and had their own motor homes or mobile homes or whatever, trailers. And so as a group, we get together in October each year down in Marshall, Texas. And these requests come in from all over the countryside. And this is during our workshop. We have a workshop there for 2 weeks, and we try to take in, hear good sermons, get bolstered up, just like you would go to Freed Hardeman lectureship. There's a lot of speakers going on, so we are able to take and go there and get refilled. And I know that Terry, where do you go, Terry? Freed Hardeman. It's good for preachers and others to take and go to these lectureships and get your batteries charged. So this is what we do. We go to the lectureship, try to get reorganized, and try to make our plans for the next year. So this is the purpose in going to Marshall. Since all requests come there, we have a staff that is not free because they've taken pay for parking there like we do. We have people answering phones, and the co-directors will be there to take and answer problems for the teams that's out in the field. And, well, there's maintenance that goes on at the camp also. It has about 150 to 175 campsites, and with electricity, water, sewer, which you need when you get almost 200 rigs pulled in there. And so this is once a year that we have that many, but all during the year, someone is usually there and keep in touch with everybody. And the co-directors, which I filled in my little time of 3 years, you work for 3 years at a time, work 2 months at a time out of the year, and try to keep things going. So you have 6 co-directors, and they will take and alternate and be there during the year to answer questions. But that's housekeeping, really. That only tries to help us keep going and keep organized and know where we're going. And sometimes you'd be surprised. Things happen that people want to know where you are, so they'll take and look on the schedule and see where you're supposed to be, and get into, you know, so people can get in touch with you. This last year was the last year I'll take and be working as a co-director, so I've got free as a bird, so to speak, because I don't have to be there at Marshall for 2 months out of the year. It cuts down on the time that you would be working in the field, doing work there, and it's just something that's a necessity. So it's not a pleasurable time. I don't like office work anyway, and to do that, you know, sometimes office man does good work, sometimes the field man is happier. So usually when I'm on the road, I'm happier. But last year we was in Marshall from January to March, trying to answer phones, take care of problems, make sure that everything was running, and doing some electrical work. Since I'm an electrician, I've took and found some time and plenty of work there. We're trying to upgrade the facilities to 50 amp instead of 30 amp for the RVs. And this was the last of that work. We've been working on this for 3 years, so it does take a time to take and do that, burying your cable and everything. But from Marshall, we went to New Pathways Children's Home in Melbourne, Kentucky. It was a new workforce, and it was a home for boys that's, I would say they're troubled, but they usually get in trouble. I don't know if they're troubled, but they find ways of taking doing that. And this is their last opportunity to stay out of prison. So their group there is working for them, trying to take and show them God's way and help them take and learn trades and stay out of trouble, basically. And sometimes that's hard to do for kids. And this is not the only place that happens, but this is one of the places. From there, we went to Western Kentucky Youth Camp. And this is an old, old camp in Marion, Kentucky. And we had, five couples with us there. We was able to take in the old cabins, and they was old. They had been there for 20 years or so. And they were so old, they didn't have back doors. So one of their little jobs was taking cutting back doors into the woods. You just take a sawzall and zip, and then put your hinges on, and that was an access. They was getting threatened to get shut down because they didn't have this access for that. So we was able to fill that need and work on one of the new cabins. So this is one of the works there. And from here, we went up to Little Egypt, in which is Dahlgren, Illinois, which is close. And we was working at the children's home there, a youth camp. And there was only 3 couples of us. And sometimes you do with what you can take and do with. And so there was 3 of us there. And so we worked doing electrical work, doing some painting. You start to see the ladies up 30 foot up in the air taking paint. But they did. But they was working on decks, so it wasn't as bad as I let out. So it kept them busy. As you notice, this was in May. In June, We went to the workshop that was in Parkersburg, West Virginia, at Ohio Valley University there. And it's a two-week workshop, same way. But after the workshop, we stayed a period of time, 4 weeks there working at the college itself, or university itself. I get hard to say university when it's knew it for college so many years. But anyway, we was able to take in, they was redoing some dorms. They was redoing some apartments for the married couples. And maybe you would. College kids are college kids, whether they're married or not. They do make a mess. And so we spent there 4 weeks taking and reworking that. And also when we was at Parkersburg, there's a small congregation there right outside the campus. And we worked with them for 2 weeks, knocking on doors, had a gospel meeting at the end of the second week. And so we was there. And believe it or not, West Virginia's got hills. And just taking, getting out, sometimes going up the hills and down the hills and more up. Seemed like it's more up than it is down. And it was hot. You would think that West Virginia's cool, but it was really hot there. So we enjoyed that, sure. That was a small congregation, and they needed the encouragement, so we was there to do that. There was only two couples of us that stayed there. There was more than that that stayed to the workshop and the sojourn at the college. But there was two of us that grew in, and we had people from the congregation to take and do it. I think we gave them the opportunity, since there were so few of us, to take and join in. Sometimes it's better for the congregation to take and add workers to the work and keep them busy also and see that it can be done. In September, we went to Schultz Lewis Children's Home. Really, this is one of the places that we dearly love to go. Their home there is for troubled teenagers. We don't know all of the problems that those kids have went through, but you could take and see on their faces that they didn't want to be there. Number two, they was there for a purpose, to take and try to help them take and see God, see Christ, and see that other people do care for them. And really not, believe it or not, they do like to see old people come in too. Because you can be a grandmother or granddaddy to these kids, and they really, really appreciate you. We're still getting some letters, some information from some of the kids that we've been to, worked with. Usually we would do well, able to take and go and be with their homes. And I say their homes. Each one has a parent, mom and dad, that's in a home, and they're the house parents. And they do furnish us meals. We appreciate the meals that they was giving us there. From there, we went back to Marshall to take and sign up for this year. And there wasn't anything new happening in Marshall besides people and confusion. Sometimes we're like this congregation. This congregation here is growing because you have different ones come in, different families, different faces. And that's great. I love to see new people, new faces, because that means that there's more than just our old group that we used to take and see every Sunday morning when we was here on 16. But the new faces are the lifeblood of the congregation. And I want to take a little bit of time to explain about what we was doing to them, more so than the old faces. But this last year has been very good for me and for Sarah. Just had a couple flat tires, which happens I always have flat tires. I don't know. I know y'all don't have flat tires, but flat tires are common with my rig. And you take a look at what I tote, you wonder how in the world it's not taking sinking into the sunset. Just, and we've been places that we had to get in four-wheel drive to get out because the weight that we carry in the camper. But I'd like to get to a little bit of different. I see Clyde back there. I appreciate Clyde's information on Wednesday night, his devos. It's been a help because he's attached, presented on attitudes. Attitudes that we can have about the people we come in contact with. Attitudes about prayer, and I appreciate Dan's lessons on prayer that he's been having. It is important, and everybody has attitudes, don't we? Good, bad. But I'd like to address a little bit about attitudes towards service tonight. The service I'm talking about is service to God and to Christ, and also in service to each other. Sometimes you and I think that you have to be, quote, educated, quote, outgoing. You have to be a lot of things to take and do service. You have to have a PhD degree. I fall short on quite a few of these three things. But I ask each of us to take in, as we're looking at service, sometimes we need to take and look at what we're doing to find what we can do. I had a brother up come to me today, was talking about doing some sheetrock. And I hate passing a buck, but I did this morning. I passed it. I said, Dan is the man you need to take and answer your problems. Because I can take and cut sheetrock. I can take and drill it and put it up on the wall and this, that, and the other. But when it comes to taking finishing sheetrock, mudding it and taping it and preparing it for paint, not me. I can take and we have several professional sheetrock men that's on Sojourners. We got something of everyone on Sojourners. We got doctors, lawyers, morticians. You know, we can take and go from here to there with the Sojourners. And elders, deacons, preachers, you name it. And it's good to take and learn from one another. In the same time here, I know Brother Pat's back there taking and doing the PA system. I hadn't learned how to take and even think about doing some of the stuff he does. But it's about like the wife. She works computers. I play games on computers. That's my thing. So, and I'm sure that there's other people here that have all kinds of talents. And I'll tell you that if you come to lead singing, just pass me by. I've had people tell me, says, you just keep it down. Don't sing too loud. You're disturbing me as I'm trying to lead the song. So, you get from that you don't take and want me to lead singing. But other things I have been associated with, I can take and get in and do. But I'm going to ask each of us, as we can, look at what we can do and put it to use. Look what we may be able to do and try it. How many times your parents have told your kids, try it, you might like it, as you're giving them something that they haven't had before? A lot of times they turn up a nose, a set, and the other, and you almost have to cram that whatever in their mouth to take and get them to try it. But sometimes they even do like it and will take and eat it on their own. A lot of times I feel like that God in His wisdom, He's told us, He said, spread my word. He hasn't given it into hands of, no offense, Terry, the professional preachers, he's given it into all Christians' hands to take and reach out to others. Sometimes when you reach out to others, what do you say about a drink of cold water? If you give it my name, you're blessed for it. If you take and give somebody a smile, there was an old brother over in Gastonia, and I could take and be down on Sunday morning when I had a class, and he'd look at me, he would take and grin, he'd say, love you. And by him taking and doing that, it lifted my whole day up. There's things that each of us can take and do. And I know that this congregation has been founded, straight, what have you, showing love, and this, that, and the other. But I've also known or seen, since this hasn't been brought to my attention, but I've been looking for certain people that sits in the congregation. Guess what? They're not here. The elders will probably take and address this, or probably already addressed it many times. But sometimes the local members, you, me, can go to that person and say, I missed you, brother. Is there anything I can take and do to help you start back in your service to God? Sometimes that's all you have to take and do, is be a brother to someone and an encourager to them. We also always think of Andrew, Peter's brother. You don't hear too much about Andrew, do you? Andrew had one thing that I think was outstanding about the man. He was taken and seen and found out from John in his service about Christ. He said, there is someone that, Peter, you need to see. And he took him, took Peter, and said, here he is. Listen to them, Christ. And by him taking and doing that, he was able to take and come in. And Peter was, who was the one to give the first lesson to the Israelites? Peter. Who was the one attended to the first Gentile convert? Peter. He opened the doors to the kingdom to these people. He was done this. I don't know if he would have done it on his own, but Andrew led him to Christ. Same thing about Barnabas. We all heard about Barnabas, son of exhortation. Sometimes we really need to think about what he has done and why he had done it. Did it? Not done it. I've done this, that, and the other, but he did. In Acts chapter 9, verses 26 to 27. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how that he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. I'm sure that the apostles, the congregation there in Jerusalem, was just to shut Paul outside. It says, you can't take and do, you can't be a part of us. But yet, Barnabas came in and said, we're missing the boat, people. This man is worth something. Let's listen to what he has to say and tell us. Let him be a part of us. And as we know, he reached out, and by taking and doing this, we can learn through the Bible about examples. What about Moses? We all know Moses. What was one thing that Moses couldn't do? You have any idea? I see Terry, you're shaking his head, yes. He's the same thing that we would take and do. Moses couldn't speak. He couldn't speak plain. The people listened to him, but didn't know what he said. God told Moses, said, look, who's to come down the road there? Here comes your brother Aaron. Yeah, I give him a mouth. He can take and talk. And so that's what Aaron did. He took and was the voice for Moses. Moses was like a god to him because he told him what to say. But Aaron did his work. He did the good things. You and I can take and see all examples through the Bible of people that have done things, and they're not big things. Oh my goodness. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, this group of Christians did some things that is noteworthy. This is Paul talking. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Not for even in Thessalonica, you sent to me aid once and again for my necessities. Now I seek the gift, but I do seek the fruit that abounds to your account. In other words, these people took and helped Paul proceed on, to carry on. Now you and I take and get bent out of shape sometimes. We say, well, that person getting all the glory, don't he? He can't take do anything except what I would take him be. All right, I'd have liked to take and leave something, read something that I've carried with me. And I like this. I like this concept, this idea. It's called a job or a ministry. Some people have a job in the church which involves themselves in a ministry. What's the difference? If you're doing it because no one else will do it, it's a job. If you're doing it to serve the Lord, it's a ministry. If you quit because someone criticizes you, it was a job. If you keep on serving, it's a ministry. If you do it as long as it does not interfere with the other activities, it's a job. If you are committed to staying with it, even though it means letting go of other things, it's a ministry. If you quit because no one praises you or thanks you, it's a job. If you stay with it even when no one recognizes your efforts, it's a ministry. It's hard to get excited about a job. It's almost impossible not to get excited about a ministry. If a concern is success, it's a job. If a concern is faithfulness, it's a ministry. An average church is filled with people doing a job. A great and growing church is filled with people involved in ministry. Where do you fit in? What about us? If God calls you to do a ministry, don't treat it like a job. If you have a job, give it up and find a ministry. God does not want us to feel stuck in a job. He wants to be excited and faithful to Him in ministry. That's what I'm asking this congregation to take and do. Look, there are things that the eldership will take and ask you to do. There are things that the eldership may not even think about that you can take and do in service to God. I'm asking you to take and look. Your eyes, Christ said, looked at the fields, they was white unto the harvest. And He's looking for workers to take and fill this. So I'm asking you to take and feel your need. Take and look and see what you can take and do. And if it's something that's already being done, ask the eldership or whoever's doing it work, can we join you? Can we take and be a part of this? This is an individual thing. God made all of us individuals with individual talents, individual needs. Everything about us is individual. But we can all get together in service for God. So just think about this, that we need to be involved. Now, I spent time talking to members of the church. Because you are what I'm thinking about. But there is another group of people here tonight, and they are those who see it from afar. They're not involved. They're not a part. But we're asking you tonight to be a part of a congregation that loves, that cares, that is showing concern through the nation. People just come back from a medical mission. I noticed that there was a children's home that was out on the foyer that undoubtedly you have part in working with. I want you to take and feel a part of this. But basically, I want you to take and feel a part of Jesus. Jesus wants all of us. He came to this earth, He lived, He died, and He rose because He loved each of us. And He didn't take and say, you know, He did say that I died for the whole world and want for all to take and come. But we have to realize that we are part of that all. His death needs to touch us. We need to come in and give our life back to Him. We take and do this by taking and believing that He is the Christ. Nowadays it's hard to find people to say, oh, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. This is not what the world will see and say to you, but that's the truth. He is the Savior of the world. When you believe that He is, you confess His name, we'll take and go down into the waters of baptism and take and wash away all the past sins that we've done. And just think about this. If the ones that was on the day of Pentecost, with them killing Jesus, and the door was open for them to take and come and have those sins remitted, what kind of sins, terrible sins, could you and I have that could not take and be forgiven? So we need to take and remember that this is what Christ died for. He was willing to take and do this. And we go into the waters of baptism, we'll raise a new man, a man to take and come up and take and be a servant of His, one that finds in all of the wonderful promises that God has made, a home in heaven and peace on this earth. If you look around this world today, there is no peace. Everything is all jumbled up. With Christ, there is peace, because of peace that you know by taking and doing what He wants us to do. And Christians, if you need to take and give a little bolster, or maybe your life is not filled the way it should have been in service to Him, please consider a new start. Every time we take and have a prayer, it's a new start for you and me and everyone. So think about this as we get together and sing this song.